we continue our program here at Radio Blast, I would like to start with a question which different brethren have been writing in. Some of them, they said they are coming here in our area, but others, they have asked if they can be part of our church at distance from wherever they are in the world.
Well, yeah, of course, they can be part of our church. Bless the brethren who come and bless the ones who cannot come.
Amen.
And the Lord, in fact, told us that we are supposed to be not only a church of evangelization, but also a refuge, church refuge for the ones who come. But we can teach you to find refuge where you are. The Lord has to show you if you need to come or not. My suggestion is whoever can get out of the West, because it's going to get worse and worse. And then you just have to decide, okay?
So you're saying that the Lord has been showing us to be a church refuge.
Right.
To actually receive the brethren and help them settle down in the area.
Yeah, we're like on the mountain here, and you know, the world is becoming colder and colder and colder, and there's snow in the spirit, and we need to furnish a refuge around here where we are, teach the brethren that come to organize a little refuge around us if they, mm-hmm. they like. Brethren, many brethren express the desire to come here where we are.
And what about the others who they cannot come for different reasons? They will stay in their area. How can they be part of a church far away, at distance, that they don't participate personally to that church?
Okay, we can teach these brethren how we did, how to organize a refuge wherever they are.
Okay.
Okay, for example, the Apostle Paul, you can see in Acts chapter 19, in you want to read it?
Okay.
Chapter 19 and in verse 21. All right. Paul was going all over the world. He was not always in his church. He was based in Jerusalem, of course. Acts 19:21.
When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome.
You see, Paul was going all over the world. But he was going to Jerusalem when he could, not very often. But even though he was going to whatever different place in the world, he was always part of, of his church. He was based in Jerusalem.
True, but he was always gone.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter, like, if for whatever reason you cannot come here, well, we can help you organize yourself wherever you are. And if you desire to be part of our church, we mm-hmm. will shepherd you. We will bless you, and you can phone, you can send email. We'll ask the brethren part of our church, you're welcome to bother us for whatever question you have. There's always somebody ready to answer you. That's what a
Amen.
Church is for.
That's because you're not bothering us.
So whatever church you belong to, the pastor should take care of you. And that's why you belong to a church, right? You help and support each other.
Amen.
And if you want to draw shows, you'll be part of a church, whether coming here or staying wherever you are, you definitely keep in touch. And any help we can give you, we'll be very happy. So maybe we should explain a little bit how we function
these
brethren.
Yeah, like who can be part of this church that is far away from them? Who can be part of it? Who can join?
Yeah, well, I mean, better explain. Like the Lord has shown us how to operate. Number one, our church is composed of brethren from all over the world. And, of course, not all are able to come over here. So the Lord shown us to love them all the same in whatever part of the world they are, because they're part of our church. At mm-hmm. least they express the desire. And our church, as you know, doesn't have a denomination. We're not in favor or against not particular other denomination. But the fruits must speak. And it's not the title or the name on a piece of marble hanging outside of the religious building that makes a church, but the fruits are different.
So it doesn't matter from where the brethren come from what religious background, they are welcome as long as, what do they need to fulfill?
Well, they just have to be sincere, they have to be true brethren, not false brethren. Okay, not just brethren when they need help, but also when they need to help others. That's what a church is.
All right, because you're talking about fruits. So what are the fruits?
Yeah, the fruits is witnessing, evangelizing, giving the salvation to the lost, and being in unity. Mm-hmm. Even though you live in a different city, different nations, it's like you're part of our church if you so desire.
Amen.
I mean, if you're able to take care of yourself without our help, our blessings are with you. But if you feel you need our fellowship, guidance, shepherding, then, you express the desire to be part of a church, and we receive you. So it's like we are simply part of the church of the body of Christ, mm-hmm. and of Christ's church in heaven. We don't believe that we are the best part of Christ's body, like certain religions say, we're not perfect, but we are the best. We don't believe that at all. Mm-hmm. We believe, I don't know exactly where we fit in Christ's body, up, down, the middle. That's God to decide, right?
Amen.
All right, so I don't know if you want to read the scripture, Matthew 23.
Okay.
Amen. 23, you can start from verse 8.
8. But you do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant.
Amen. Amen. So basically, be careful about saying my church is better than the other, which is not. God is the judge. Mm-hmm. So the Lord has shown us that there is now in the world a big, big lack of churches to help the brethren to find a refuge, because there is a great storm coming. It's called the tribulation. And we see that the false prophets are in action to say, keep sleeping, there's no tribulation coming. These are false prophets, the tribulation is coming. And these brethren don't prepare are going to be destroyed. Exactly like it's happening in Iraq, that they are beheading children, they are killing people that want to convert and so on. It's going to come. Just the devil has a different style for every... there was a style for Nazi Germany, a style for fascist Italy, and a different style for communist, Stalinistic Russia, and on and on. And so be careful. If you're in the West, don't go to sleep, because so far it's nice to watch TV, everything is okay. Ask the Lord if you should stay. So don't listen to false prophets, okay? Because in many parts of the world, tribulation has already started. Okay, right now, look, just this morning, follow the news, there is a mountain in Iraq where those devil's people, ISIS, are surrounding this mountain, because on top there are some 40,000 refugees. Okay, and then the news, I checked some American news, and he said 10 children already died of starvation. There is no water, there is no food. Wow. Now, finally, the American, Obama, he was playing golf and he took 5 week vacations. He came back to the White House and said, okay, start bombing the ISIS. So late. It should have started a year ago. ISIS has been 1 year trying to advance. Mm-hmm. It's too late. The guy in Obama is a new world order puppet, so he didn't even care about those guys. So basically, you see, tribulation has already started. Don't hope that mighty America or Russia are going to defend you. They're going to defend only their selfish interest, the interest of the politics in Russia, and the interest of the banks in America.
You don't mean the tribulation of the Bible started. It's just a prototype of tribulation.
The beginning.
Well, it's not the beginning of the end-time tribulation.
No, the tribulation, the 100% tribulation, will start when the abomination of desolation will be presented in the temple, Matthew 24:15.
Yes.
But this is like an example.
Yes, yes.
It's an example, like Pompeii. Like first, if you read the history of Pompeii, was a little Sodom and Gomorrah. First, there came a shower from the volcano, fire. Mm-hmm. And so the Christian left on the spot. The prophet said, leave. But the homosexual and the sodomites and the bestial people there say, no, our gods are going to help us. And the next shower killed them all. Mm. So these are just warnings. Attention, attention. When you see black clouds approaching, you better prepare. Don't say, oh, my God is going to protect me. That's how God is protecting you. Wake up. He's going to protect you because he's sending you a warning.
Amen, amen.
Amen. So anyway, the Lord told us to open our church, okay?
Yes.
Open our church to the brethren who ask for help, okay?
Amen.
If these brethren can help us, we need help, material, spiritual, whatever. If they cannot help and we can help them, we will help them. So that's a true church. So regardless what religion they grow up, the Lord told us open our hearts, open the door of our churches, open the door of our houses. If a brother needs a mattress, we're supposed to take the mattress from our bed and give it to the brothers who need. Understand?
Amen.
If there is room in our house, we will take them in. If there is no room, right now we're quite overcrowded, we will find a place nearby there's some place cheap, we find a place in some farm, so we'll come up with something. The Lord told us to do that. So the Lord told us to allow them to come to us if they ask to be part of a church. If they have a good church, wonderful. Stay where you are and be a blessing to your pastor. If you don't have a church, you want to join others, let us know. We will receive you if you're a true Christian, a true brother. Okay, so
thank you, Jesus. Amen.
That's it. So that's how all the churches in the New Testament were organized. Only churches in the house, people were living together, eating together, helping one another. It was not these false churches of hundreds of people who meet Sunday morning, shaking hands and just singing.
It's
wonderful.
True.
The Lord loves your singing. It's a great singing. Shedding tears as we sing is great, but that is not the church of the New Testament, because singing is a little part of worshiping God. The main part is the way you worship in private, and you show in public by evangelization. Amen?
So we're almost like going back to the first basic Christianity.
Well, we did already. The Lord told me specifically, He said, Joseph, I want you to organize your church as the tribulation already started. I did, and we are here in the wonderful place,
yes.
Great place. The Lord is providing everything we need. We are even able to help others.
In fact, yesterday something amazing happened. And we are in the mission here all surprised and shocked how wonderful the Lord is. We had some people evangelizing. And we have been praying for a few months now for bicycles, some strong mountain bikes, actually for survival. And we said we need a few of them, at least five.
You ended up putting the heart to assist Dora to get on the phone.
Yes, Dora got on the phone.
And to witness to a bicycle place.
A bicycle factory. She investigated where in the area there is a bicycle factory.
She just spoke in the name of Jesus. She
Amen.
Said, just in the name of Jesus, this is who we are, this is what we do, and?
And we had in mind to phone them, evangelize them, and ask for a discount. Being missionaries, maybe they give us half a price or less.
We asked for their help.
We asked their help. And they offered to give five bicycles brand new for free.
Thank you, Lord.
And we had like, wow, that is not what we expected. Look how wonderful the Lord is.
Still in the plastic,
yes.
With the seals.
Yes, yes.
Beautiful five mountain bicycles, which we are preparing for this to survive, because the day is coming, we know that we cannot drive around our vehicle, there won't be fuels. So the bicycle is a great thing. You can go 10, 20 kilometers with the bicycle,
yes.
Mountain bikes, strong bikes. Amen?
Yes, yes. It's just amazing how wonderful and how good the Lord is. And all the children are inspired, they're excited, they're happy. They got bicycles.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord is wonderful.
And that's the vision. It's like some brethren are like Matthew chapter 6. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Listen, God is not in vacation like President Obama playing golf or the Christian being blown up in Iraq. Jesus is there. The God of the Calvary is there looking down. He loves to help us much more than we want to receive help, because
yes.
He loves us so much, enough to go on Calvary. Will He not give us bicycles, food? In fact, yesterday when they came back with the bicycle, there was also in the van, there was also a bunch of other stuff, right?
Yes, there was a big supply of meat, which
meat.
The Lord gave for free.
Amen.
In a market. We go evangelize in the meat market, and people give whatever they can for free, and then we accumulate like that meat for a month that we keep it in the freezer, and we have supply for a whole month.
Yeah, people here are very sweet. South American sweet people. And they open their hearts. We just tell about Jesus Christ, how we are missionaries, explain our work, and they... open their hearts, and the brethren came back last night. There was no room in the fridge to put all the meat.
Yes, and also the testimonies. They said that at the bicycle factory, when they picked up the bikes, they said the people were just so happy to give. It was a great testimony. They just were looking forward to give these bicycles and to find out about us. For them, it was a great thing. They just feel good about it. And they told the stories how they help people in the area. And this is wonderful, because God will bless them.
Amen, amen.
This is a way to teach people to be generous, not be selfish, help those around, and they actually had joy in doing it.
Amen. So that's why we have plenty of joys, to help the brethren, and the Lord told us to teach other brethren who want to survive in the wilderness, Revelation 12, in what's coming, to teach them how to do it. The Lord told us exactly the way you guys are doing. I want you to teach others. Because we learned this through many, many years of mistakes and trials. Praise the Lord.
But it comes down to just evangelizing. You evangelize everywhere and the Lord supplies your
needs. Yes, Jesus taught to the principle in Matthew chapter 10, go in a town, investigate who is worthy, and there abide until you you need.
Amen.
Eat and drink what is set before you. And that's what we are doing. We just go evangelizing. Like if you need fruit and veggie, you need to go evangelize also to the fruit and veggie market. If you need meat, make a little time to evangelize to the meat market.
Amen.
If you need bicycle, evangelize sometimes, not all the time, but go to evangelize some bicycle factory and so on. Amen.
Amen.
So it's like keep eyes on Jesus. Remember, our God is a God of miracles. He snapped his finger, created the galaxy, created the world, the stars. Our God is not limited. Only the devil is telling us he doesn't want to give us because we are bad, we are sinners. It's not true. Well, we are sinners, but that will not stop God from giving us if we decided to be disciples. Amen?
For me, the biggest one was your testimony. You said that one time you evangelized in the past in a company that was selling cars.
Yeah.
And they gave you a car for free.
They were selling cars
big.
For free.
That is big, I think.
Yeah, I just came back from India. I was walking around, witnessing, giving gospel tracts. I was walking because I didn't have a car. That's it. because I sold everything before going to India. When I came back, I was... Because the police wouldn't give us visa anymore. So anyway... I was going door to door, witness shop to shop, giving tracts, and I bumped into this shop where they were having second-hand cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw there was a guy sitting on a table some 30 meters away, so I yelled, "Hello!" I said, "Hello!" He thought it was a customer. I said, "Do you have a missionary car?" And he said, "What? A missionary car?" The guy couldn't understand.
So what brand is that?
Yeah, he said, "What brand is looking at?" I said, "Come over here." So he said, "Come here, sit down." So I said, "Sit down." So I showed him a few pictures from my work in India, what I was doing, the mm-hmm. work. And he said, "Very nice. So what kind of car do you need?" I said, "A missionary car." "What kind of car is that?" I said, "This for free." So I showed him the scripture, Matthew 10. He said, "Look, Matthew 10, 42, if you give a glass of water, God will repay you." And he said, "Listen, I'm small. I cannot give you a car. Let me phone a friend of mine." So he phoned a friend. "So listen, I have here a missionary, this and that. He needs help. Can I send him to you?" And he said, "Okay, send him here." So I went there. The guy was waiting for me. And he took me to a basement. There were some 40, 50 cars, second hands. And he said, "Choose the one you like."
Wow. Wow.
And I chose a very good car. I said, "I don't care so much the model. It needs to be strong." So he said, "Well, then I suggested this with the hydraulic suspension. It's a Citroen Strong." And that's the car I used to go pioneer my little work, gospel work in Serbia.
Hmm.
And I was together with some American brethren when I went there. And then I went to also Romania, Hungary. And then I remained there for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
That's where I met you.
Yes, you did.
That's where I met my wife. Praise the Lord.
Amen. The Lord is great.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So we were in the session of how to join our church. Anything else we need to add?
Yeah, I want to see if people... people think we are strange because we are church in the house. But that's the only church that was in the Bible. Read Acts chapter 2, 42. This is an example of the only churches in the New Testament. The churches of today, they're not scriptural. They're not based on Bible example. They're just Sunday morning money collections in most cases.
Yes.
You got that? Acts 2, 42. Keep reading from there.
"And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers."
See, true church, they break the bread together. Break the bread. That means eat together. Today is not on fashion. People have to go back to watch the TV and listen to the lies. 43.
"Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles."
All right. 44.
"Now all who believed were together and had all things in common."
Okay, jump to, keep jumping. 46.
"So continually, daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart."
So they were living together, sharing everything. Okay,
this is
the churches in the house. 47.
"Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved."
Amen. And Acts 4:34, it says that there was no needy among them. And that nobody needed anything. Correct?
Acts 4?
4:34.
"Nor there was anyone among them who lacked, For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold.
And that's what we do. That's the way our community is organized. We share. If somebody has some whatever possession, we sell, we share.
Amen.
And that's how every community should be organized. So
Amen.
If you organize a community or a little church, we organize your fault. You do it in this. It can be you and your wife if you want to just... you can be, in other words, if you want to be part of a church, fine, you can come over here if you want. You can rent a house here nearby. Organize your house like this. You are independent, you have your finances, you have you and your wife, your children, and you are independent. You're still part of a church because we meet once in a while.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Or if you prefer, you can meet with another family, a couple of families together. Okay, of course, you don't begin a community sharing money because you might find that their own brethren just take the money and take off. You mm-hmm. pay my debts because they need you to pay the debts, but then when they pay the debts, they take off. You have to be careful for those brethren. Or in fact, we have to double check. Okay, can you go to Galatians 2:4?
Okay.
See, it's like one hand that we accept... brethren, but of course we need to check and double check that these brethren are not false. In fact, we counsel you when you open a community with other brethren, don't start sharing money because you're going to get your own brethren. Like brethren who have debts, first they have to pay their debts before they can join the community because it's unscriptural to have debt. Galatians 2:4.
And this occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage.
Okay. Also Jude 1:4.
Okay. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness, and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
So I suggest that you get in touch with us and get some more suggestion and counsel before you open a community, because it's like, be careful, all right?
Now you're saying basically don't start the fellowship by sharing money. Wait for a while, and later you can do that.
Yeah. You have to wait 1 year or more until you know, unless you know the person very, very well, that it's a true Christian, a true disciple. But anyway, anybody with debts should first pay their debts before joining a community.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot join a community and bring debts. It's unscriptural.
Mm-hmm.
All right? In fact, you see in Acts chapter 2 and chapter 4, they were putting the money at the feet of the apostles. They were not putting their debts. Understand?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because if the church pays the debts of everybody, then wrong people will join for that purpose. Oh, thanks for paying my debt.
No. Church is not to pay debts of people. Absolutely. That's absolutely wrong, because if you do that, you're going to get cheated.
Yeah.
So don't receive, if you start a community, whether you come over here near us, or if you start it wherever you are now, start a community, don't receive people at debts.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are debts, you have to pay your debts.
But you know, sometimes, I myself know many Christian brethren, very sincere, very dedicated to the Lord, who are repented that they got in debt. But they are real brothers. They're not trying to get money from anybody. They're trying to get out of debt. They're trying to pay it. But they're sincere.
It's sincere.
So they cannot join a community?
No, with their debts, no. Because, a debt is the same like a sickness. You have a cancer, you have something.
So they have to be isolated because of the debt?
Not isolated. They can come to church.
Ah, okay.
They can come to church and receive everything, but no money.
Okay.
You cannot go to church and say, give me money.
So are you saying they can be part of the church?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand now.
They can be part of your church.
But like, not join a community.
Like in any church in the world. There is no church in the world that you go Sunday morning and say, hey, I came to collect money. No church will do that. In fact, it's unscriptural.
Yeah.
It's absolutely unscriptural. So, basically...
The point is they cannot join a community living together, as in the end time vision, living together with other brethren, but they can be part of the church.
They cannot join the community. They cannot live together. Of course not.
Okay.
And then don't let, sometimes they cry, tears, this and that. The only time I made a mistake to pull out the money, I was always sorry afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the guy, the super duper, the super holy saint, this and that, I took off.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
just not God's plan.
I remember if you see,
Jesus never gave money.
Yeah.
You don't give money. You tell people to go to work. Mm-hmm. All right.
I remember in Peru we met a sister, and she really loved the Lord. And she was wonderful, and we loved her, and we were so tempted to pay her debt, which wasn't big, it was a small debt. But we were tempted to pay it for her just so she can be free and follow Jesus. And then the Lord just didn't allow us to. The Lord just closed every door when we actually planned to put that in practice. And it turned out that she is not with us anymore, and she has her own life, so it didn't turn out the way we planned.
The Lord spoke to us, in fact, and told us to explain to her that all she needed, it was only to work 2-3 months.
Yes.
And pay a debt. That's what she needed to do.
Yes.
Okay. And so we said, Lisa, why don't you go to work? There'll be a little test for you to see if you go work honestly, pay your debts, and then you can, because you wanted to join our church.
Yeah.
I said, yes, of course you can join our church. First of all, you can come every week
or two, three times a week
you can come. She was almost coming every day.
She was coming daily. True. She was very wonderful.
Yeah, she was.
She was evangelizing
with
us.
She was cooking. She was helping the house. Yeah. Going evangelizing. But she had a few debts. So we said, listen, to pay your debts, all you have to do is just work 2-3 months, 4 months. And then after you can join.
Mm-hmm.
In the meanwhile, you can still come all the time for fellowship. And she said, okay, but then she didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have the faithfulness to work 2-3 months. How are you going to give your whole life to Jesus?
It's true.
And that was good that we didn't take her in.
It's true.
Amen.
May I ask you, talking about this dear brethren who have debts, according to you, which is the most realistic way to get out of debt?
Yeah, sell everything they have if they can, or find a job super well paid of some kind. Even if you, you just squeeze your brain a little and then get on your knees. Just like if you have a terminal cancer, it takes a miracle. Also, like debts is like a financial cancer. It's a financial sickness. God can get you out, but you have to be sincere.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say, God, heal me, and then I'll forget about you.
So the first option would be sell everything you have, get out of debt, even if you're left with nothing?
Even if you're left with nothing.
Just get out of debt.
Yeah. Yeah, if you see the message of Jeremiah to Jerusalem, they reach a time when the Jeremiah said, just run for your life. Like, just run for your life. Your booty is going to be your life. Because as long as you have your life and no debts, you can go in a place and grow potatoes.
Hmm.
Understand? It's mm-hmm. like, many times I find myself with zero money, but no debts.
Mm-hmm.
That was my reward. Because then I just put in my pocket a bunch of gospel tracts. I used to go door to door distributing. Then say, if you want to give a donation for the mission, God bless you. At night, I always come back with money.
Hmm.
That would be for the whatever I needed, the rent, the food.
Thank you.
Slowly, God provides. The key, like the devil's trap, is the debt. But as long as you can walk and talk, you can go door to door. One of the best jobs in the world is door-to-door salesman. Just like they sell stupidities, you can distribute gospel literature. And when you find people, you can distribute CD, DVD, whatever, right?
Yes.
You can copy them in a friendly way without label, whatever.
Basically, any Christian material.
Yeah, we can give you a band. You can use our material, whatever. We can help you if you are a true brother. And then it's like people that have money, make sure you have if you cannot give a CD for free to everybody, of course no, but for sure you can give a little gospel track.
Yes.
So I always had in my pocket a bunch of gospel tracks, because sometimes we would give gospel material, sometimes I would give New Testaments to people, sometimes mm-hmm. a CD. You can even copy our message, put on CD and distribute that. And then ask a donation from the good hearts.
Amen.
Who gives more, gives less. At the end of the day, you're doing good.
Hmm.
Okay, but remember, people don't give money. Give a track for free.
Okay.
So this way, you're not a mercenary selling the gospel. You always give something for free, and people give a donation for the mission, your mission, whatever your mission is.
Now, there are brethren I know who want to sell and get out of debt, but they don't make it to sell because in our days, people already don't have money to buy. How can they sell?
Well, they have a quick way. They have a quick way. Would be, for example, let's say you are selling a car or a house.
Yes.
Okay. So you say, I'm selling this house or this car, and it's worth 10.
Mm-hmm.
Symbolic 10.
Yeah.
It's worth 10, but I'm going to give it to the best offer. So, let's say, for example, you need an amount of 5-6 or four, whatever, to pay all the debts.
Okay,
so you sell a house, and you say, this house is worth 10.
Yeah.
Now, you know you need four to get out of debt.
Okay.
So you say, I'm selling this house, it's worth 10. Okay, I'm starting from the price of four.
Wow. It's like an auction.
Like an auction. You say, because of an urgency, I'm selling my house, it's worth 10. I give it to the best offer, starting from the price of four.
Okay.
You understand?
Yes.
Let's say, for example, the house is worth 10 peanuts, $10,000, an example.
Yes, I understand.
Okay, say this house is worth $10,000. I give it to the best offer because of an urgency, etc., etc. Starting for the price of $4,000, $40,000, or whatever you decide. You understand? And so then you start collecting. It's
basically
like an auction.
Basically, you secured your debt that it's going to be paid.
And then you will reach probably 6,000, 7,000, 8,000. People come and see the house, and truly it's worth 10. Okay, my offer is 7.5. The guy said, good deal if I get for 7.5. And then, so you pay your, let's say, 4, and you have another 3.5 left over for buying an ice cream for your wife. You have to take care of your wife, because if you don't know to keep your wife happy, you are a poor husband. I know how to work on my wife every day.
She's a pretty easygoing Danish girl.
Wife, they're like flowers, you know. It's like you need to caress them every day.
Amazing. That's what the wives say about the husbands. They don't say flowers. They say just like the dogs. You caress them and they're happy.
No, it's a joke. There's a lady who said how to keep your dog happy.
Yeah.
Say feed him every day. Give him some sweet words every day. Caress him a little bit every day. Your husband, but unless it's the same. The same strategy. It's a kind of a joke. I don't know if it's exactly a joke. Got that?
Yes. So, in conclusion, the best way to get out of debt would be sell everything that you have, even if you undersell, as long as you can pay your debts. And if you have nothing to sell, you were mentioning about finding a job which is well paid, even if it's a difficult job, which maybe is not the best easygoing office work.
Yeah, a friend of mine in America said that he was going to go to Alaska and do fishing because it's kind of tough. But he was going to go for a month or 2 months in Alaska fishing. He was going to make some 3 or 4 times the salary. Oh. You get triple or quadruple salary, something like that. And the guy, just in a flash, he paid everything he needed. So that's an example.
Yeah, I understand. So that would be the most efficient way to get out of debt and
be
free.
I also say that there are some people that have nothing to sell, they're still in debt. So those people, they have to get on their knees and really, 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 really give their heart to Jesus and promise to God, Lord Jesus, save me. Just like if you have a terminal illness, I'm dying, or cancer, doctor, give me 3 days. Get on your knees and say, oh God of the universe, in the name of the Calvary, in the name of your blood, in the name of your love, I know you love me, you can heal me if you want, and you have already healed me from the cross. Jesus, heal me. And with a rinky-dinky little faith, with a little bit of faith, no more than a mustard seed, you can be healed. You will be healed. The same is for financial healing.
Amen.
Okay, also finances is a curse.
I remember the story of a sister in the States. She's actually Venezuelan, but she lives in the States with her husband.
Husband is Venezuelan or American?
He's Italian.
He's Italian.
Yes, but they have been living all their lives
in
the States.
Right.
So they wrote asking prayer exactly for the finances, because they said we're full of debt. We had to close down the activity.
Very sweet guys. Yeah, I heard about.
Yeah, we had to close down the activity and we're left with debts. As I pray for our finances, we cannot even pay the taxes. So you sent a message to her and you said, pray for the finances as if you would pray for the resurrection of the dead. Pray that God will resurrect your dead finances. And she wrote back after a week. She said, I did that and I just found a job. She was jobless for a long time. So I found a job. And this month we will reach the end. We will reach the end of the month. We'll be able to pay.
And she's a very sweet sister. She translates, right?
Yeah, she's helping
us. A wonderful family. They haven't come over here yet, but Lord bless them.
Amen. Well, we can close here, Joseph. I would like to thank you for all the answers. I hope these practical tips can be of help to some of the brethren. But we are here if you have any questions, if we can help you with anything, with prayers, with our experience, with our lessons, so you don't repeat the same mistakes we made. Please write in.
Amen. The Lord bless you, protect you, anoint you.
Amen.
His angels go before you to provide your finances, your material blessing, first of all, a spiritual blessing, first of all, to bless you with an open heart for Jesus, and for the Lord to bless you to be a true servant of God, evangelizing to whoever you can, wherever you can, wherever it's possible. Don't worry, the world is ashamed of you, the devil is ashamed of you, makes you ashamed.
Thank you,
Don't
Lord.
Worry, keep going for Jesus, keep going for Jesus. That's where all our blessings are. That's where all our protection is. That's where all our wisdom is. That's where all our blessings will
Thank
be.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, receive a big kiss and a big hug.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Be blessed. Thank you for your messages.
Thank you, Lord.
We wait for your news.
Thank you, Lord.
To know what Jesus is doing for you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you.